already know the address.
66 Harborview Road.
Hello, hello, and welcome to 66 Harborview Road, a podcast dedicated to ABC's General Hospital. I'm your host, Caitlin, and in today's episode, we are talking about the week of September 12th through the 16th. And this is going to be in two parts. Second part will come out tomorrow. Starting out light, Drew was doing laps at the MetroCourt pool, and Marshall walks in. He wanted to offer apologies again to Marshall for the fake job interview. But it wasn't that fake because he did hire someone for a music-related position. After some banter, Marshall accepts Drew's apologies and they share a meal together before Marshall goes to meet up with Epiphany. Drew sees a missed call from Carly and tries to call her back but doesn't get an answer. And that's because Carly and Joss were at Charlie's discussing how nervous Carly is to leave town. And I've been noticing the past few weeks, Jocelyn has been talking a lot about her younger sisters and having off-screen time with them. So I'm wondering what kind of stories we're going to get from that. So this is when Dex walks into Charlie's and Joss and him share a look. And Miss Jocelyn has that shy look of, oh my God, there's the boy I like. So I was surprised Carly didn't see that and ask more questions, but she is so distracted thinking about Drew. Carly has to get to her plane, and on her way out, she runs into Sunny, of all people. I mean, of course, she's got to. So let me tell you, I saw two completely different people. Like, watching the beginning footage of the 2007 MetroCourt hostage crisis, and then looking back at these scenes, I mean, incredible how different Carly is this time away from Sunny, and like how he still thinks they can be best friends like nothing happened. Carly gets to her plane and Jocelyn walks over to Dex and sits with him for a minute, thanking him for helping her find Avery's bracelet. He leaves and she follows him to give him his sunglasses that he left on the table. Across the bar room, Brando saw Jocelyn scurry after Dex and was curious why she was following one of Sunny's men, I'm sure, so Brando went after her. We then cut to Carly trying to call Drew again, and now she's getting his voicemail. Then the announcement comes on the plane that they have to make an emergency landing. And where do they land? Jacksonville, Florida. Like, I am surprised, first of all, that Carly is just striking up conversation with anybody. That's not me. Definitely not me. I keep to myself. Like, you don't know if people are good or bad these days. Like, best not to test the waters, you know? So then she figures out that she left her cell phone on the plane. She can't board it to get it back. She's just gonna have to wait, or she's getting a new one the next day. So she checks into a hotel. While she's there, a woman named Mrs. Honeycutt strikes up conversation. And wouldn't you know, after talking to this woman, they witness a friend of hers having an affair. And Carly was defending the young girl, and Mrs. Honeycutt wasn't having it. Then she mentions how Ruby Anderson's house is getting torn down. This begins the trash talk. And Carly says, hold up, that is my great aunt. And this woman continues to speak rudely. And Carly then recognizes her. And I at first was like, where is this going? How could you possibly know this woman? Who is she going to be? This woman is Reese Marshall's mother. Like, what? Reese was Carly's high school friend. Her real name was Charlotte, but I guess sometimes went by Carly. I don't understand why Port Charles Carly is getting slack for using the name Carly. Like, her full name is Caroline. Carly's not that far off. Like, I didn't understand that woman. Like, relax, Mrs. Honeycutt. So as she's reaming Carly out for her past poor behavior, and I mean poor behavior. I don't even want to repeat anything on here. Frankly, I don't have the time tonight. Maybe I'll touch on it tomorrow. But Carly makes the point that she was a teenager when all that stuff happened. No way was intelligent enough to understand what was going on with Reese's dad, and she will not owe anyone anything. I mean, I liked the speech, and I understand that when someone is reaming you out, you're not likely to answer calmly. But Carly did a good job. I'm on her side. Meanwhile, Drew is in the Quartermain kitchen worried about Carly because he can't get a hold of her. Willow walks in and jumps all over Drew for saying that her body's going through a lot right now. Like, calm down, Willow. Like, literally, you keeping this secret is doing more damage to your body than probably your illness and your pregnancy are. Later in the week, Drew is at the Port Charles Grill trying to call Carly again and still can't get an answer. And Sam walks in with a new scout. At one point, him and Sam share a hug, and Scout gets super excited for that. But Drew has to explain that they're just friends and they'll always be family. Scout goes back to coloring, and Sam starts pushing Drew towards Carly, which is so interesting to me. I mean, these women have shared many men, but is Sam pushing this just so she won't have to think of Drew in that way? I mean, she says she's all into Dante, but sometimes I wonder, do you just like Dante because he's a law-abiding Jason? I think I've said that before. But I mean, like, Dante has to jet off after phone calls. His job gets dangerous. I mean, that sounds like Jason. In other lighter stories, Miss Wu walks into the Savoy and asks for an iced tea and intimidates Nika. Can't hate Selena, but we also love Nika, so we don't want her messed with. Nika then calls Curtis to tell him what Selena is up to, and we get a sneak peek of who she's meeting. What do you know? It's Cody. I guess we couldn't figure out what this guy was going to do, so now he's going to be a seat in a poker game. He can win back some of Selena's losses. Whatever. You're not Sean Donnelly. You can't infiltrate the Wu family like he did. Are we going for a repeat here? I don't know. He should just figure out why Mac is asking so many questions. He does call Dante about that, and he tries to pry, but Dante doesn't have anything for him. But what they did give the audience was that Dante has had a past crime. And Cody has helped cover it up so that Dante didn't get any blame, so that Dante could become a cop. Almost makes me even more angry with Dante for sending Michael to prison back in 2009. Like, you got something you did covered up, and yet you got Michael sent to prison for defense of his mother and sister. I cannot. Not right now. I don't know why I'm kind of hating on Dante. I'm kind of hating on Sam and Dante together. Besides the ick family relation factor, I don't know, just too much beef has gone down on separate sides of Dante and Sam where they were too much on opposite ends that I just don't know how you get through that. Maybe that's the whole point, is like, you know, hate to love or, you know, whatever. But anyway, I'm sorry, guys, but I don't like Cody at all. I don't like his character. I don't see any potential in it. Even if he is related to Mac, 20 years too late, in my opinion. Like, I think it's more dramatic to find out you have a teenager, because teens by nature are over-emotional. Like when Oscar found Drew, we get our hero Mac tearing up at the thought of having an adult son that he didn't have a chance to raise or have influence on. But I think that's the story. Mac, at his age and his sensitive soul, dealing with this news. Not Cody and whatever Cody's up to. The best part of seeing Cody at the Savoy was seeing him leave and Curtis showing up to question Selena. Selena then tells him she wants Chase to play at the club and basically is telling Curtis he doesn't have a choice, while Curtis is trying to maintain that it is his club. I mean, I kind of feel bad for Curtis. I mean, he made the wrong deal and now he's getting deeper and deeper into the Wu mob dealings. Branching off from Curtis, we saw Stella telling Jordan about the divorce papers. Finally! Curtis walks into Jordan's office, only for Jordan to take the blame for the papers gone missing. I thought Curtis was way too hard on her. I mean, you didn't notice the papers were missing either, Curtis. Like, I don't understand. What's not working for me is Curtis believing Jordan wants him back, and that's why the papers went missing. Like, boy, bye, you are not all that. After he leaves and Stella says thank you, even though she's like, you didn't have to do that. And Jordan's like, well, I did. So here we are. Stella leaves and Jordan is getting deeper into this genealogy thing to get more proof that Trina is really Curtis's daughter. Around the hospital, Sonny is being like an annoying brother and asking Ava if she has any idea who stabbed her. He's trying to pry about Esme, but he ends it with, I'm not going to allow Avery to lose her mother. So that was nice. Forensics is coming back, and they realize the weapon was a fishing hook from 66 Harborview Road. Dante rushed to D. Yates to ask Liz for records of stabbings that may match the weapon. Afterwards, Liz is wondering if Nicholas was the one who needed an alibi. She speaks with him privately, and they argue about it. I mean, Nicholas, to me, seemed like he was trying to confuse her. I didn't like that at all. Finn then walks in after meeting with Gregory at the pool with Violet. Finn told Gregory that Nicholas is the reason Hayden left town. Interesting he would tell his dad that, but I mean, it is the truth, so why not? Gregory, in turn, tells Finn, don't make Liz rush into anything. She's, you know, vulnerable, blah, blah, blah. I am over the daddy-son talk about how to woo a woman. I'm over this. Come on, Finn, get it together. So Liz tells Finn all of her suspicions. But like I was saying the other week, Liz and Nicholas have known each other a long time. She knows when he's acting suspicious. This makes Liz wonder if she should tell Ava that neither her or Nicholas have an exact alibi for when she was stabbed. And do Liz and Ava have a lot of history? I don't know. I'm blanking on Ava and Liz history right now. But anyway, Ava demands more information, but Liz says, please let me gather some more proof, some more information, and I'll report back. So Ava agrees. Portia also visits Ava, and Ava lets it slip that she suspects Nicholas. Like, Ava, who aren't you telling? Come on. So Portia is relieved that Curtis would never do anything like that, and Ava says, yeah, what do you know? And then she realized she was being just a little bit harsh and backed off. I mean, when she said that, I said, oh, Ava, rude. Rude. So while all of that is happening, Nicholas runs into Sunny getting off the elevator, and Sunny threatens him to stay away from Ava. Nicholas then brings his own goon to the hospital to fight his way in to see Ava, like, just over the top. Portia and Ava hear the kerfuffle outside the door. Ava gets really frightened, and Portia runs out the room like, what are you guys doing? Nicholas makes a veiled threat, and Curtis comes around the corner like, nah, no, you did not just threaten my fiancé. I did love that scene, though. Even though it was a little bit, like, too on point, I did love it. Because someone needs to make Nicholas back down. He is too over the top. So after that is when Curtis tells Portia that Jordan was the one that misplaced the papers. And then he throws out his conspiracy about Jordan still wanting him back. This does nothing but make Portia question his feelings. Like, well, do you want her back? I just hate that Curtis keeps throwing Jordan under the bus. TJ walks up and tells Portia she's got a patient, and while TJ is a busy doctor about to walk away, Curtis has the nerve to ask him about his mother's dating life. Can you not, Curtis? Like, he's a doctor, he's got things to do. Stop worrying about Jordan, because please, she is not that worried about you, besides knowing that Trina is your daughter. Later that evening, Ava has Frank bring in Nicholas into what I thought were handcuffs, but he didn't have any. But the way he walked in, it made it look like he was cuffed. So Ava straight up asks this man, like, did you stab me? Did you hire someone to stab me? We get another Hayden mention, all these mentions, but no Hayden. And Nicholas is just pleading and pleading with Ava. She ends up believing him. I mean, I know as the audience, we know it wasn't Nicholas, but I just want Ava to remain strong about making Nicholas pay for Esme. I mean, yuck. These men need to give women time. Like, geez, just give women some space, man. This is going to conclude part one of Walk-In's Welcome. Thanks for hanging in there with me. I appreciate you all. I promise part two will be out tomorrow evening. If you want to chat some more, my Twitter is @66_view, Instagram @66HarborviewRoad, and TikTok @66_HarborviewRoad. From the Quartermain Foyer, I bid you a great week. Thank you.